I invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of John, chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. John, chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Jesus speaking here, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace, we just thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we thank you so much for how it shows us your great care, your great love for us. And especially because you sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary that we all might be saved if we will place our faith and trust in your most precious Son. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here in the need. And I pray this morning, if there's one who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here. Lord, I pray as your Spirit moves mightily among us, Lord, and we're convicted, we're drawn, and we're guided, Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient and follow. Guide and direct my words, for it's the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. In this passage that we just read out of John chapter 14, Jesus speaks about a place that exists somewhere beyond this world other than where we live at today, here on this earth. He talks about the way to this place, and he tells us emphatically that anyone can go there if we will follow the way that he's given us. He gives us limited information about this place. But the conversation, and that's one of the things we're going to look at today, is the conversation quickly turns to the way to get to this place. Now, it's one thing to talk about heaven, but it's another thing to talk about how to get to heaven. We can read Scripture about what heaven is like, all the wonderful things, Jesus sitting there on the throne room. We can speak about the colors of the rainbow that surround him, if you will. We can speak about the streets of being a pure gold. We can speak of all of the different colors, especially of the different pearls, or I should say jewels and things of this nature that are there. We can talk about his white raiment, but the question is, how do you get to there from here? And Jesus is in his discourse with his disciples, with his church, and as well with us today, he is speaking to us about how to get to heaven, the way. And when we talk about the way, we can talk about it from a contextual usage. We can talk about it from specifically about a method, a manner, a feature, a route, or a path. The way has different implications for the lost person, though, than it does for the saved person. And I'm going to talk throughout this message about the different meanings, what the way means for a lost person. And when we talk about that word lost, meaning someone who's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ unto eternal life, unto salvation. That's what we talk about, a lost person. A sinner needing to be saved. A saved person is a sinner who has been saved by Jesus Christ, who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And we're going to talk about from the way, from the perspective of the lost person as well as the saved person. To the lost person, in general, the way is the route to the Father's house. But to the saved person, the way is the method, the manner, or path of life that corresponds with God's will for him. God's will for that individual, if you will. So, once you have found Jesus, you had to find him in the only way, trusting in Jesus. That's the route to get to heaven. But while we're living here, we need to follow the way to live for Jesus Christ. So that's why I said we're going to talk about both aspects, both perspectives. We're going to explore the idea of the way from a number of perspectives in a number of contextual usages. Again, because of the fact is that the way is often taken out of context on how to get to heaven, but we're going to talk about the way that Jesus has provided. But I want to start out with talking about the way of deception. Because we're going to talk about the true way, which is really described there in verse 6, is that we're going to talk about also the deception that the world throws out at us. In fact, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So there have been many ways that have been promoted by mankind on how to get to heaven, but they have been conjured up in man's ideas and often with a influence of Satan, and all of those ways that man has engineered, man has conjured up, those are deceptive ways. Verse 2 of our text that we read, it says, when he says there, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and notice he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Now, there's a lot of people that have this idea that because Jesus has not come back, he said in his word he would come back some 2,000 years ago, because he has not come back, their statement is that he's never going to come back. The best heaven we're going to ever have is here on earth. And I'll tell you, this is the best heaven that I'm going to have. You can have it. All right? I would say that for a saved individual, this earth is the worst hell that we will ever experience as a saved person. The worst hell that we'll ever experience because of the corruption and evil. But back to this statement about deception. When we look at what Jesus had to say, because Thomas asked that question, Lord, how do we know the way? Where are you going? How do we know the way? How can we know the way? Well, here's some factors that bring about deception and the source of deception. First of all, there's short-sightedness. And you say, well, what is short-sightedness? Because people have become today so consumed with this present life and living this present life that they become short-sighted that there is a need to get to heaven. There is a need. When we die, we're going to go to one or two places. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. But the question is that when you die, will you go to heaven, and you can know the way, assuredly, or when you die, are you going to go to hell, or to the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever? And that you can also know assuredly on how you're going to get there if you do not trust in Jesus. The Bible is complete in that. So short-sightedness. There's also, I look at in Scripture, is that there's a dependence on reason to the exclusion of faith. And think about that. Is that there are people today, they're called humanists. They're called, another word for them would be atheists, if you will, and sometimes they're called agnostics. But the humanist will say that you can reason and logic everything you need to know about this earth, and through reason and logic we can solve things of this world. But you see, the end result is we're all going to die. All right? You can have all the reason, all the logic. You can depend upon it. When they talk about reason and logic, it is to the exclusion of faith. In fact, they will argue that faith is a limiting factor in your life. Faith limits you. It causes you to be narrow-minded. You can't broaden your horizons. You can't see greater things. But the Scripture says, Hebrews 11 and 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Faith yields understanding of the material world as well as the spiritual world. So through my faith, I not only understand greater things about why God created things, why He created this world the way it does, how the fact is that man lives on this earth, this planet exists for mankind to live upon. The oxygen that we have to breathe, the things that are provided, the growing seasons, the harvesting, the, you know, you look at the trees, you look at all of the animals, you look at, and even our medicines. Anytime you ever have an opportunity to go over to Morton Arboretum over in Lyle, and as you're walking through the Arboretum, one of the things that you'll find is that all of these different trees that scientists and medicinal scientists have learned to extract sap and things of this nature of the bark and of the wood itself to make medicines. Now think about that. How in the world do they have the intelligence? How many of us would go up and take a bark off of a tree and boil it down and say, well, I hope this helps cure something. But you see, they've learned how to use what God has provided. Sometimes it's through observations of animals. In the animal kingdom, they observe that these animals don't get sick, or they seem to get over this sickness. What do they eat? And they follow them around, and they see what they eat, and they say, well, let's try that as well. My point is that God has given us faith to show us of His greatness and His great care for humanity, and yet the world says that it is only through the reasoning, the logic, the science that we have, is that, and I will tell you that science just basically continues to prove that God is right. That's what science shows us, that God is right. God created the heaven and the earth, and with faith, I embrace it, that He created the heaven and earth. And through that faith, we understand the worlds were framed. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So true faith will cause our reason and our dependence to be squarely placed on Jesus Christ. Here's another area of deception concerning the way of deception. Spiritual blindness. You know, when we find it's that spiritual blindness, blinded minds will have unbelief because of willing ignorance, is that we choose not to trust the Lord. We choose not to trust His Word. We look at God's Word and we say, this is written by just a bunch of men. Contradictions all over the place. Men will say, this is not God's Word. And if it is God's Word, then why did He allow evil to come into this world? And if He allowed evil, then He must be the one that brought evil in this world. No, He is not the one that brought evil. Evil is the absence of God, plain and simple. The absence of God is what evil is about. Man brought evil. Satan brought evil into this world, but not God. God had to deal with evil, especially because we're sinners in need of a Savior, sending Jesus down the cross. And to a lost man, the Scripture says, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth, the natural man is the man that's not a believer. That's the natural man. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Peter writes this in 2 Peter 3 and 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So the point is that spiritual blindness is brought about by unbelief, but it's also out of willing ignorance. Another area is the way of deception. False messengers with false messages. And I will tell you that there are many today who are giving forth a false message about the way to heaven. They will argue and contend is that all roads lead to heaven. My Bible does not teach that. If you have a version of the Scripture that teaches something other than that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then you have not got the Word of God. You have got man's Word if it teaches something else. And in fact, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I will tell you this, is just because they have a large congregation does not mean they're right. But I also turn it around and say, just because they have a small congregation doesn't mean they're right either. The only rightness that's going to be irrespective of the size of the congregation, are they teaching Jesus Christ and Him alone as far as the way of salvation. So we have false messengers with false messages. And then, of course, the multiple false ways. Matthew, Jesus speaks this in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, is that the true way, basically, Jesus says, has become obscured in many ways by the multiplicity of false ways. Jesus states in Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So in many times, in many ways, the true way of Jesus getting to the Father is obscured by the many ways, the broad ways, if you will, that man has engineered and brought before us. Just get to heaven on your own accord. That's what they'll contend. That is a deception. But it's something that must be stated. Deception for the lost person will end in eternal damnation. Deception for the lost person will end and result in eternal damnation. But deception for the child of God, and this is very important for us to hear. If we as a child of God buy into the deception that the world throws at us, it will result in a wasted life with no investment in eternity. If we accept the deception of this life as children of God, it will result in a wasted life with no investment in eternity. So we talked about the way of deception. I want to speak for just a moment about our own way. Our own way. In fact, Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 53:6. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now for the lost person, your own way means choosing to attempt to obtain eternal life by a method or a route God has not designed. Praying that God will still accept you. Alright? Did you hear what I just said? For the lost person, the one who has never trusted in Jesus Christ, your own way, because you know, as I've stated on other occasions, other messages, most people you talk to want to go to heaven. Very few people have said, I don't want to go to heaven. I'm content with what I'm doing. If I go to hell, I go to hell. Very few people will ascribe to that thought process. Most people you talk to in life want to get to heaven. But we want to get to heaven of our own accord, in our own ways, our own fashions. And what we want to do is that we want to do things that make us feel good about our methods, and that God will accept our method. So, you know, here's one of the things that's so readily available to us is that I want to get to heaven, so therefore I'm going to go down to that church and I'm going to get baptized. Because that, I believe, will get me to heaven. Well, I will tell you, John the Baptist on the shores of the River of Jordan saw these Pharisees that were standing there that wanted to come down and be baptized. Because I have to believe that some of those folks, as they were seeing these new converts go down to get baptized, they thought, you know what? That's a prophet. And if the prophet says we need to get baptized and we're working our way to get to heaven, then I'll tell you this, is that we're keeping all the works of Moses. And if this prophet is telling us that this is something that we need to do, we're going to go down there and we're going to get baptized as well. But you know what? John really stopped them in their tracks. He asked them, he made this statement, before you come down here, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? In other words, he went on to say, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. He said, well, what in the world does that mean? Basically, just to bring it into a very simple statement, he says, number one, tell me about your salvation experience. Number two, who are you believing in for salvation? Was there repentance? Why did you believe that you needed to be saved? Well, I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I realized that I needed to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. When did you do that? Because you see, if you haven't done that, this water isn't going to do you any good. The water has no saving grace. It has no saving properties. It is what we do is the very first act of obedience following salvation. In fact, the Scripture says it is the answer to the good conscience that we already have as a result of trusting in Jesus. But yet, flocks of people will go and get baptized. And in fact, just to make sure that people are getting baptized early enough, they're bringing those babies. Now, let's get them baptized too, because you know that'll wash away that original sin. Really? Show me that in Scripture. Show me in Scripture. It doesn't say that. It never has said that. That is man's way. That is man's own way. Well, you know what? That church seems to have it going on down there. I'm just going to go join that church. And so that'll get me to heaven. If I join that church, oh, they're growing in leaps and bounds down there. If I join that church, then that will make me accepted before God. No church can ever get you to heaven. This church cannot get you to heaven. The only thing we can do is present Jesus as the only way to get to heaven. We have also people that have lived, and I'll double quote this, good moral lives. If I just live as a good moral person, God has surely got to accept me. But the Scripture says that none of our righteousness will ever be accounted as good. None of our righteousness. We're all unrighteous. We've all missed the mark. Well, you know, I will tell you this. God will surely accept me if I give a lot of money to this charity or to this foundation. Really? That'll get you into heaven. Oh, I know that, brother, that will get me to heaven because God will see my heart was there. I was given all this money. No, that will not get you to heaven either. But you see, that's our own way. That is what man has looked at. In fact, just so we see that from a scriptural standpoint, there was a man that approached Jesus there in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and says, "And behold, a certain man stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do? Just tell me, what do I need to do to get to heaven?" Now, for the lost man, for the lost person, your own way, again, means choosing to attempt to obtain eternal life by your own method that is not designed by God. But what about our own way as a child of God? As a child of God, your own way means turning from the way that God has instructed us to conduct our lives to pursue selfish, temporal interest. We're going to do our own thing and yet expect God to bless what we do. We'll expect God to bless what we do. And so think about this, from our leisure time, our career choices, our use of our money, and even our field of spiritual service. If we get consumed, and yes, a child of God, and we talk about the child of God as that carnal man, the spiritual, and remember I've preached on this before, is that there are three stages of man that man can enter. There's the natural man, that's who we are in the flesh, that's before salvation. Once we've trusted in Christ as Savior, we become the spiritual man. The individual is then to be following after Christ, following after His ways, following that what the Scripture teaches us, but then there's that carnal man. The carnal man is the spiritual man who has decided to then go back into following the ways of the world. And that's why we're warned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, said this in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth," or on this earth. So you see, the thing is that when we, even as a child of God, choose our own way, as a child of God, then what it will do is it will have dire consequences for us. There will be no rewards laid up in heaven. There will be, in fact, the Scripture tells us that at best, at many children of God, and I'm a firm believer of this, many children of God are going to be there yet so as by fire. It's because they have no works that were worthy of God saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because they followed after the things of this world. Following our own way also can mean tempting to please or serve God in the flesh. Now, it's important for us to understand this. And this is for the lost and the saved. Again, going back to the lost. The lost man can say, "Well, I want to do some good things that God may accept me." But even for the child of God, if we're not careful, if we're trying to do things of our own accord and then slap Jesus' name on it, is that we run the risk. We run the risk of a lot of wasted time and effort. And because who was to receive honor and glory? It wasn't Jesus. It was us. We just slapped Jesus' name on the ministry and wanted Jesus to bless us because we put His name on it. And our own way, it will be counted for naught. Be counted for naught. In fact, think about what Jesus had to say there in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, and alms is like charity, if you will, let not your thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So when we do things of our own way, especially even for the child of God, when it's our own way, when it's to have the accolades, you have your rewards. When you get to heaven, and the Lord, and you say, well, didn't I do that over here for you? He says, wait a minute, you did that for you. You didn't do it for me, you did it for you. And you got your rewards while on earth. Don't ask for rewards here in heaven. So we have to be very careful about what we do of our own way. So we talked about the way of deception. We talked about our own way. Now let's talk about the way of truth. In our text again, in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth. The truth. There is no truth that is apart from or beyond the Lord Jesus. In fact, if there's any truth in anything that you and I ever do, it's because it came from the Lord first. You and I cannot conjure up new truth. We can't. The best we can do is conjure up a lie or a half-truth. We can never conjure up anything that the Lord has not already provided to us, which is His truth. As there are false ways, deceptive ways, there's also one way of truth. And it's the right way. And when we listen to those who reject Jesus because they say they have the truth, truth which is apart from Jesus Christ, I would say if you listen to that, you are going to be deceived. You're going to be deceived. And when we listen to those who contradict or disagree with Jesus, we're going to be deceived. How many times have you heard it stated? Is that trusting in Jesus is just too narrow. It's just too narrow. How is it that's the only way that we can get to heaven? Because Jesus says, I've come to tell you the truth. Jesus says, I cannot lie. God cannot lie. I cannot lie. I and my Father are one, which says and establishes that Jesus is not only the Son of God, He is God. So therefore, He says, is that I am telling you the truth. I change not. My way changes not. Not my ways. My way changes not. I change not. There is only one way. You know, there are those that Paul, as he's right, has written there to the some of the churches that we have recorded in the Scripture. He wrote it to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. Now, did he had a concern that there were going to be those that were coming into the church and they were going to start to preach another gospel. For he says here in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. If you are not solid and firm in your foundation, in your very core, that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the truth, then I will tell you, you might start listening to another message, another way. And that's one of the things he wrote to the church of Corinth, that they be aware that there will be those that come in as those false ministers of Satan. When he was writing to the churches of Galatia, he said this in Galatians 1, starting verse 6. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So what is the gospel? The gospel message is simple as this. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. He came here, He died. He was put to death. He bore our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. He was buried for 3 days, and He arose again just as He said He would. He arose and He ascended back to the Father. That is the gospel message, plain and simple. Why did Jesus die? Because of us. We're sinners. We can't die for ourselves. We must receive the gift of salvation that is freely offered by Jesus. Jesus came and He showed us the way to get back to the Father. He came, He died, but yet He spoke, He says, and He says, I'm going to tell you the only way that you can get to the Father. In fact, verse 6 of our text says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must go through the door of salvation, which is only offered by Jesus Christ. But what Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia, apparently there were these folks that were coming in, these ministers that were coming in, and they were preaching another way. And they called it truth as well. And that's why he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, now think about that statement. He says, for whether it was us, Paul is speaking about him and those that were traveling with him, or an angel from heaven. Now I think about who that angel from heaven might be. Satan. Though Satan himself were to show up, or Satan manifested within his ministers, as I read from scriptures before. They come in as ministers of light, false lights, of course. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which we have preached unto you, meaning the one that you received because it was truth, and you trusted in Jesus, it says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know what this tells me as a congregation? As a congregation. Let me give you a scenario. I happen to be out of town. And I'm out of town and I'm gone. And I asked another man to come in and to fill the pulpit for me. And I'm not talking about someone of our congregation. I'm talking about a preacher I know, and I've asked him as far as I know, and I've vetted him, and I believe that he is preaching the truth, and that's all he does is preach the truth. But he comes in here and he preaches. He stands in this pulpit and he starts to preach. And little did I know that even though that I thought that what he was preaching, he was sound in the Word, he was sound in the truth, is that he had become deceived himself over the last few years. And he came in, now he's preaching. And he says, by the way, you know there are other ways to get to heaven. It's not just through Jesus. I will tell you at that point, somebody from this congregation ought to stand up and say, brother, you are preaching a lie. Please sit down. That's all of what ought to be said. Even though I've invited him and I thought he was sound and true, you should stand up and say, there is no other way. Jesus is the only way. And brother, you need to sit down because you're preaching and setting forth a bad seed in this congregation. You see, that is what Paul was concerned about, is that they had started to listen. The churches of Galatia had started to listen to these ministers that were coming in. And they were listening into something that was completely false. Hebrews records this. Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is the express image of God the Father. He is the Logos, the Word, who came here, manifested Himself, and told us the only way, the only truth, is the way to get to heaven is through believing in Him. If we search for a way apart from Jesus, then what Jesus says and what He states, I will tell you, we will be accepting a counterfeit way. A counterfeit way. And this world has all kinds of counterfeit ways on how to get to heaven. If you're a lost person searching for the route to forgiveness and salvation, and you accept something other than Jesus, you've accepted a counterfeit way. If you're a child of God searching for the most prosperous way to live your life, and you don't accept the way that Christ has given us, you are following a counterfeit way. And I'm going to tell you, there are many churches offering counterfeit ways for Christians. I didn't mention lost person in that statement. I said Christians. Counterfeit ways. Oh, just live to be a good life and God will bless you. I will tell you right now, is that the Scripture teaches us about what it means to follow after the Lord. It teaches us about what it means that if we stand and we suffer for Christ, then we'll be heirsetters. Suffer for Christ? Wait a minute. Didn't you, preacher, wait a minute. Isn't salvation a bed of roses? And if I trust in Jesus, I'll have no more problems in my life? I do not find that in Scripture. I find in Scripture that it says that if we're truly following Jesus, if we deny ourselves, we take up His cross and follow Him, there is going to be some suffering in your life because you are doing things for the cause of Jesus. And I'll tell you, as the Scripture says, as Jesus suffered, is that so will we suffer. Now, I'm not going to just leave it on the suffering side. I will tell you this, when you follow Jesus, there's also great joy. There's also great joy, there's great peace, there's great love, there's great harmony, because even through the suffering that the world throws at us, we receive the gift of the joy because we went through the suffering. Does that make sense? It does to me, because that's what the Lord says. So you see, is that, and think about this, how many times have people said, I'm not coming to Jesus because I got to give up all the things I love. I'll tell you, when you come to Jesus, there's a lot of things you'll want to give up because you'll not love them anymore. As a child of God, you'll start to see that I don't want to do that because that will be a bad light on my Savior. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be involved with that. I don't want to be bibbing in that. I don't want to be seen at that because everywhere I go, I take Jesus. And I don't want to take Him to those places any longer. I did that when I was a natural man, but I'm a child of God, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to follow the ways of Jesus. Why? It's because I want to give Him honor and glory, because if I'm giving Him honor and glory, He is going to honor me. That makes sense? If I give Him honor and glory, He will exalt me in due season and in due time. So that's why we look at the way of truth. The Scriptures teach us about it. And think about this as the way of life. Now, we're going to talk about it for just a moment. I've transitioned a little bit into it. Jeremiah writes this. Jeremiah 21:8 says, And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. For the lost man, you have a decision for the way of life. You have a decision. It's your decision. Trust Jesus and live. Reject Jesus and die. Accept Jesus and live, or reject Jesus and die. That is your choice. Your choice. It was my choice. When I trusted in Jesus as Savior, that was my choice that was presented to me. Jesus spoke to my heart and says, Ryan, you're a sinner. You're in need of a Savior. If you don't trust in Jesus and you die, there is a place that you're going to spend eternity apart from Jesus. Apart from Him for all of eternity. But if you'll trust in Jesus, with your heart, give your life, give your heart, ask Him to forgive you of your sin and trust in Him, He says you will have a place in heaven just as I am. In fact, that's what it said at the very first part of our text here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, there's a way of death to the person that rejects Christ, but there is a way of life to the one who receives Him. And one of the things I look forward to, is this place made for me by Jesus. Made by Jesus. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lot better than here. Okay? A lot better than here. Most of you know that I'm in doing remodeling. And I'll tell you, I know my mistakes. Now, in many ways, I'm a perfectionist. In many ways, I'm a perfectionist. And I know where my errors are. And I'll tell you is that you go and you, especially if you're putting up new drywall as an example, and you put the mud on it, and even though you've sanded it, you've placed care in it, and I'm wondering, when I'm sanding, I'm feeling with my hand because I can feel the spot, the surface. Is it smooth? Is it rough? Does it need more sanding? And I'm working both hands, sanding and feeling. When I get done, it looks good from afar. I'll say it looks good, but you know what really happens? The minute I put the paint on it, is that it shows all my imperfections because I am not perfect. I look forward to the day when I can see something that is truly made by God's hands that is perfectly made without perfection, or with perfection, without impurities, without imperfections. That's what I look forward to. My Lord says, I go and I prepare a place for you. Prepare a place for me. Perfect design. No mistakes in it at all. And you see, the way of life shows us that. How to live today in preparation for tomorrow when we're with Him. The way of life, it's a choice. It's not something you fall into, that you inherit, that comes upon you, or that God will one day force upon you. It is a way of life that we choose. In fact, that's what Romans chapter 10 tells us. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realize that's a choice that you must make. Whosoever shall call, you must choose to call upon this way of life. In other words, to trust in Jesus as Savior. To trust in Jesus as Savior. Now some will say, I believe that you will know when your time comes the proper way of life. I'll tell you right now, your time is already ready. Your time is already ready. John chapter 7 says this in verse 6, and Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Meaning, time to repent. The Scripture tells us this. Proverbs 27 and 1. Especially when it comes to talking about the way of life and about choosing the way of life. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You're not guaranteed life tomorrow. You're not guaranteed life this afternoon. You're not guaranteed an opportunity tomorrow or even this afternoon. What you have right now before you is a guarantee of an opportunity to know Jesus right now. In fact, the Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation that I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I will tell you, to the saved person, to the child of God, the choices that we make will determine whether we invest our life and our resources in eternity or we waste them on this world's temporary indulgences. So to the child of God, the way of life, we're going to either expend our time here frivolously and do nothing for the Lord, investing nothing. The Lord tells us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Set your affections on things above. That's what He tells us in His Word. So the things that we do are to be heavenly things. The things I do on this earth, how I demonstrate my love to my neighbor is also demonstrating my love to my Lord. If I hate my neighbor, in essence, in many ways, I'm really saying I hate my Lord. You cannot love your Lord and hate your neighbor. Those things don't work together. But when I demonstrate my care, my love for my neighbor, I'm also showing my love for my Lord. As He loved me, I extend that same type of love to others. That is setting our affections on up in heaven. One of the things that we also find, if we steadfastly refuse the urging of God to reflect, to correct or redirect or do something that He's instructing us to, I will tell you is that it can cause the wrath of God to come upon us. Now think about that. If the Lord is showing us His way and we say, no, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to go that way. You know, I think about, we have back on the table back there, we have reports that come in from missionaries. Every week I get new reports that come in from missionaries. And you hear some of the struggles that they deal with. And you have to wonder sometimes, and I've walked in their shoes, so I can appreciate what they're saying. You wonder sometimes, is it worth it all? Especially when you see people that just leave for no apparent reason. Why did you leave the congregation and your congregation drops down? Or as Brother Piper wrote in the one he just sent us, he said, you know, the landlord just raised their rent 33%. Just raised their rent 33%. Now, you know, some people say, well, let's just quit. What are we going to do? We can't afford that. They said, no, we're going to regroup. We're going to meet. We're going to go back to meeting in a home for a while until such time we figure out another place to meet. You see, my point is that even though that the world throws these things at us, he throws those things at us and Satan tries to stop us, is that do we keep going his direction? What if Brother Piper said, you know, well, I guess I got to quit the field, quit the ministry because, you know, is that I got to quit there because look at this is what's happened. Or how about we have missionaries, as Brother Taylor was over there for many years, he was over in Africa, and they were establishing churches in Kenya and in those areas in that region. And in the north part of there around the Sudan area and up in that northern part, they were having all kinds of civil war. Genocide was going on. What if he had said, you know what, the Lord, even though he's brought me here, I don't have confidence that he's going to protect me. And so therefore, because of all the warring of the tribes and all the different ones that are going on, we're just going to leave. And I'll tell you and think about what if he left? How many souls would not have been saved? You see, my point is that sometimes God instructs us to go to places and to witness to places, but yet at times we are not willing to do it. And I will tell you that the result can be premature death. In fact, the Scripture talks to us about that. It's recorded in 1 John 5:16. If any man see his brother sin a sin that which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. I truly look at this as that if we are unwilling, if we are unwilling to do the Lord's bidding, and where he draws us, he encourages us to go to a certain place to speak for him, to serve him, for whatever the reason is, it could bring about premature death upon us because we were unwilling to serve him in the capacity that he wants us to. Think about this. And sometimes I also look at this as going back to this statement that I made earlier about doing things our own way. We're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night. Think about what we do if we do things for our own honor and glory. Go and study about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What did they do? They came in for self-glory, and I truly believe what they were doing was coming in with self-glory, irrespective that they lied to God, and it caused them a premature death because what they were doing and what they had done had been a seed that had been planted, and it would cause more disruption to the church there in Jerusalem. Choosing the will of life, or the way of life for the Christian, means choosing the will of God for his life instead of his own selfish will. Let's speak for just a moment about the exclusive way. You know, Jesus did not leave room for competitors. Didn't leave room for competitors. He said again in our text, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way, I'm some way. He said, I am the only way. The only way. The truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so when we want to go to heaven, we must choose to go through Jesus Christ. And the context of this statement makes it very clear. Jesus is specifically talking of the route a lost person must take in order to arrive at his Father's house. And by the way, his Father's house, there's many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Many mansions. The route for the lost person is going through Jesus. It is not, he did not speak about following some biblical standards of conduct to get you there. He did not speak about joining a church to get you there. He did not speak about being baptized to get you there. He said, I am the way. There's no other way to receive Jesus than through trusting Him as Savior. In fact, John chapter 1 and 12 says, but as many as received Him, there has to be a reception. The gift of salvation, I have to receive. I have to receive what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary as the only payment for my sin debt as a lost individual. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But you know, as a result of trusting in Jesus, the exclusive way, the only way to trust in Jesus, as a child of God, I have now the way of peace. I have the way of peace. If you're a child of God, you have the way of peace. And think about this, what He says in His Word, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, the human heart is always, through our lifetime, is going to be troubled with things in this world. We're going to be filled at times with unrest, unease. We're going to be filled with issues that are before us, whether it be financial, whether it be their children, our parents, whether it's going to be with a job, whether it's going to be just our health. I don't care what it is. We're going to have issues that come into our life. But you know, with Jesus Christ, I can have peace through all of it. You can have peace through all of it. Though there may be the turmoil, though there may be the, I don't understand. To this day, I'm going to tell you right now, to this day, and you know my story, for 29 years plus, I was in the technology industry. For 29 years plus, I knew, I've been trained, I've been doing that kind of work. That was my field. I still to this day do not fully and have 100% understanding why my Lord took me out of that position. And I'm in a different position now. I'm just being honest with you. But you know, I still have peace that it's the right thing. Whether it was something with my health that was going to be avoided. Maybe it was something with my finances that was going to be avoided. Maybe it was something that in preparation for something else. Alright? That's maybe the biggest thing. Preparation for something else. All in all though, I found is that my peace becomes stronger when I just say, Lord, I'm just going to accept it. That is what we have as a result of Jesus. I don't know what holds tomorrow, but I know that He holds my hand. That's what I know. You see, as a result of trusting in Jesus, even though that there are things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand, we can have confidence our Savior, our Lord, knows exactly what He's doing. The question is, will we let Him do it? Will we let Him do it in our lives? Or do we kick and scream about, that's not what I wanted to do? And I will tell you, if you're not a child of God, you're never going to experience the kind of peace that I have, that every child of God has afforded to them through Jesus. You're never going to experience peace that surpasses all understanding until you know Jesus as Savior. I'll tell you is that a lost person who's been searching for peace, I just gave you the cure for your misery. You've been searching for peace. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've spent money here, you've spent money there, you've gone to this person, you've gone to that person, you've tried that church, you've tried that religion, you've done this, you've done that in your lives, and you still haven't found peace. I am just giving you the cure for your misery. You don't know Jesus. The minute that you know Jesus, the minute you trust that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Your heart knows that you have a home in heaven. One of those mansions that Jesus went and prepared. You know what He has done for you. And giving you salvation, I will tell you, is that will give you a peace that passes all understanding. And as a result of that, as a result of knowing that we have that peace, you're enabled then to walk in the way. You're able to walk in the way. And when we walk in the way, I will tell you, it is a way of serving God. It's a way that is joyful. It is a way that gives us gladness. It is a way of giving hope, because the more that we let Christ into our lives, the more we let Christ guide our lives, the more that we let Christ conduct our lives through His leadership of His Word and His Spirit, I will tell you, is that as a result, is that our lives are changed. We have greater focus. We have greater attitudes. We have greater accomplishments. I don't care is that if you're the greatest ditch digger, you can have the greatest accomplishment because you know you dug that ditch for Jesus. It's not about your status in life. It's about your status with Jesus. So irrespective of what you do, you know that if you do it with the right attitude and you walk in the way of the Lord, then I will tell you, it will encourage you. You'll find that joy. You'll have that peace. You'll have greater understanding. Even if you don't understand it all today, you'll have that greater understanding because you'll know that you're doing it all for Jesus. The question is, do you know Jesus? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except you come through me. If you trust in Jesus, you can have a home in heaven. But if you are a child of God, are you trusting in Jesus to live for Him, to know Him, let Him guide you, let Him lead you, serving Him so that He may be able to say unto you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word, for what it's taught us here today. Lord, I again pray for one in our midst here who has never trusted in your Son Jesus, that they will do so right now before it's everlasting too late. Whatever the needs are of those who are saved, Lord, as we've listened, may we walk in obedience. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.